This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Friday, a glorious, glorious Friday. We have made it. The week is over. It is weekend time, baby, and we are on a gravy train with biscuit wheels. As you well know, today is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I dare say this is the greatest batch of questions by far we have ever had. Someone wants to talk about national divorce. Are feminists being hypocrites when it comes to trannies and women's sports? AI, how much unemployment is that going to cause? Did Hamas screw up royally with October 7th? Communists destabilizing society, is there any place for beans in anything? If I had to pick one American history story for kids, what would it be? And why are communist women ugly? All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And yes, I'm aware of the Trump-Putin meeting that happened earlier today. I'm hopeful. It sounds good. Sounds like a great first step, right? But that's enough of that. Let's talk about some questions, shall we? In fact, let's get to this one because this is a big one. It's about our country. Jesse, up until recently, you spoke of national divorce. I loved your analogy of a married couple. The husband wants to raise the family while the wife wants to burn the house down and go do black tar heroin with Metallica. Then you were equating Democrats as half the country. Now you seem to feel optimistic that the Democrats are the minority held up by our institutions and tax dollars. It seems we now may be able to confine the self-destructive wife to one room of the house and take away her matches. Could it be? Is there hope? Said his name is David. Is there hope? Can we abandon this whole national divorce talk and just fix everything? Okay? Well, one, that's a noble goal. Let's be clear about that. It's a noble goal. And I think it's possible. I am not going to be sunflower and sunshine and roses on you, though, and tell you I think it is likely. You see, I am optimistic about many things right now, and also at the same time, pessimistic about many things right now. I know it's easy to look out, depending on how you look at life, it's easy to look out at the state of our country right now, the state of our politics, and it's easy to be extremely hopeful. There is so much to be hopeful about. Just deportations. 2 million already when you count self-deportations. That's amazing. The job market finally being taken away from foreigners and given to American citizens. Foreigner employment way down. American citizen employment way up. That's amazing. We have... And a lot of this is due to Trump and what he pushes out there and the people. And there's a renewed feeling of patriotism. And not just that there's a renewed feeling of patriotism. You always had that. But I'm going to say it, and it's the lamest way to possibly say this, but I don't know a better way to put it. Patriotism is cool again. I know that's so lame. I understand it is. But when I say that, I mean... You don't have to be a hyper-political person to know that patriotism is in and you want to wave an American flag. You want to be Mr. America. You see it now, especially with young men, college campuses. It's cool to celebrate America. For a little time there, it was cool to trash the place. This place sucks. Burn it down. Ah! No more. No more. The uglies are on the outs. It's cool to love America again. Kids all over my neighborhood when it comes time for Halloween. They'll go as Trump. Trump flags. They'll go as, Uncle Sam. All America. All the time. It's cool again. There's a ton to look at and say, okay, good. Good. But there are also extremely dark clouds over us that have not gone away. The first, I'm not going to spend any time on it. I'm about done wasting my breath on it because Republicans don't care. Neither do Democrats. The national debt. I know it's the cool new talking point. Oh, debt doesn't matter. Debt matters a lot. The breakup of the greatest empires in history was oftentimes, at least in part, due to national debt. We have $37 trillion of it. We haven't cut a dime of spending. It is piling up and piling up and piling up. The national debt has not gone away. In fact, no one's even attempting to address it right now. That's a problem. It's a problem. Now, let's talk about what you talked about specifically here. Democrats. They're not half the country, as we've discussed many times before. I don't know the percentage. You don't know the percentage. We can't know. What we do know is it's not half. They've been propped up with taxpayer dollars. They've been propped up with propaganda. They've been propped up with illegals, with foreigners getting involved in our country and our elections. Let's be honest here, which has given the country the false impression that we're a 50-50 nation. Well, half on the left, half on the right. That's a bunch of garbage. But I don't know what the percentage is. I don't know whether it's 60-40. I don't know whether it's 55-45. I don't know whether it's 70-30. I don't know. But let's use the most optimistic number I just laid out there. What if we are a 70-30 country? No, I'm not saying 70% are just like you hardcores, like just like me. I'm not saying that. But what if 70% of the country generally believes in most of the same things when it comes to freedom and immigration and taxes and things like that? 70% of the country. Okay. Well, let me ask you something. If you had a sports team, it's baseball season. If you have a baseball team, you have 10 players on your baseball team. What if 3 of the players want the team to lose? How you doing? How many games you gonna win? Oh yeah, right fielder, he's all in. The pitcher even, he's all in. Catcher hates the team, wants it to lose. Shortstop hates the team, wants it to lose. I know. You're 70% set. 70% set. Are we okay? 30% of the country hating the country. Yeah, they are outnumbered. There's no question about that, but that's devastating. That's a devastating number. 30% of the country. Let me play it for you. I played it earlier this week. I just want you to take in these words. This is Delia Ramirez, that congresswoman. Set aside your hatred for her for a moment. Listen to her words and think about 30% of our countrymen who think like this.
For me, being an American is the ability to dream, to love, to have dissent, to be able to organize and build a kind of solidarity that recognizes the good and the bad of the formation of this country, that is willing to reckon with how we have used colonialism to harm others, especially in the Western Hemisphere, and begin to think about and imagine creatively what reparations look like, what building solidarity looks like, what bringing all of us together means. And let's be frank, we haven't always been great. And let's be frank, our history says a lot about what we've done and who we've done. This country has never been great for poor people, for black people, for indigenous people.
Are we okay if 30% of the country thinks like that? Are we okay if New York City thinks like that? Washington, D.C. thinks like that? Los Angeles, things like that. Seattle, things like that. Chicago, things like that. Albuquerque, things like that. Are we okay? Look, I am optimistic about many things. But what gives me the most hope is not Donald Trump being in the White House. What gives me the most hope are normal people becoming activists. That's what gives me the most hope, because it's going to take a legion of us, years and years, to rip back the institutions from the subhuman animals who conquered our institutions. Now, I do have that hope. In fact, I had something happen to me right before the show today that put me in the best mood in the world. I'll tell you in a minute. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So before we get to the other questions, we're going to get into some AI and the hypocrisy of feminists, and we'll talk a little Hamas, Israel here in a second. Just something else that does give me a great deal of hope and put me in the best mood in the world. I had a doctor's appointment today. It wasn't for me. It was for my kid. But I took my boy to the doctor today before the show, and they know who I am in the doctor's office. And I go in, we're sitting in the waiting room waiting to go back, couple of nurse secretary chicks sitting there. And you know what they both asked me? Hey, how do we get more involved? Both of them. How do we get more involved? They didn't do what we all normally do. And I do this too. Hey, Putin sucks. Joe Biden's an idiot. Democrats are ridiculous. Just standard general political talk. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It wasn't that. It was, hey, I hear you talk about it all the time. How can I help? What can I do? That's friggin' awesome. That's friggin' awesome. And I see my emails. I see this everywhere. Jesse, I'm getting involved. Jesse, I want to get involved. How do I get involved? Jesse... That is what gives me hope. The right, if we are a 70-30 country, then I'm not saying that, but if we are that, what if the 70% got off the couch and got involved? In the course of that conversation with one of those nurse secretary chicks today, she told me about this really, really, really red Texas town where I believe she said he was 24. A 24-year-old, fairly open communist, just achieved a high-up position with the local school board. That wasn't the school board. I forget what his position was. And I said, how did that happen? She said, nobody ran against him. That's how it happens. If we are a 70-30 country and the 30% has more influence than their numbers say they should have, it's because they got involved and we didn't. We're changing that. That's what gives me hope. All right, let's move on. There's just way too many Ask Dr. Jesse questions today. I'm in such a good mood. Hey, Dr. Jesse, do you think that had Hamas known the extent of Israel's response, that most of their top leadership would be neutralized, they still would have gone ahead with October 7th? She said, I'm originally from New York City, where I listened to you on WOR. But now you're carried on several local stations here, and some more of my conservative colleagues have started listening. All right. Would Hamas have done October 7th if they knew what the response would be? Well, here's the thing about hatred, and I'm not going to do a Dr. Seuss nursery rhyme thing about it. You should never hate. That's not true at all, by the way. There's tons of things you should hate. Hatred, there's a time to hate. That's in the friggin' Bible. It's time to hate. You should never hate. But, hatred can make you stupid. This is not some moral lesson I'm about to give. This is a lesson about hurting yourself with hatred. Hatred can make you stupid. Hey, when's the last time you picked up the news and you saw a headline about some dude stalking his ex-girlfriend, gets himself arrested, restraining order, criminal record? She broke up with him, he's mad, he hates her. Boom. Hatred ruins his life. Look, that idiot we talked about last night, that dirty communist in Washington, D.C., walks right up to a gaggle of police officers in D.C. in tactical gear and spikes a Subway sandwich off their chest. What a moron. Anybody with a tiny bit of rational thought would know, well, that's going to be an arrest, and whatever your job is, since you did it on camera in front of everybody, you're going to lose it. He was a trial lawyer for the Department of Justice. You know how hard it is to become a lawyer and then get in with the Department of Justice? He works for years and years and years to get what I assume is his dream job, where he can be a dirty commie at the DOJ, and gives it up to spike a foot-long cheesesteak off of the chest of a police officer. How could he be so stupid? Hatred. Hatred. Hamas. Right now, what's happening is Israel is conquering Gaza. They are conquering Palestine, for lack of a better way to put it. They are. That's what's happening. That's why the world continues to be outraged. That's why you see leveled city blocks. They are not being passive about it. They intend, from what I read, from what my people tell me, they intend to conquer Gaza. No more kid games. No more you can do your thing. No more. Nope. They intend to make it theirs. Why? Because you launched a 1,000-person raid against a country that's way more powerful than you. It was a raid. That's a raid. Historically, settled civil societies, powerful nations, have tribal peoples, oftentimes violent tribal peoples, on their borders who hate them. And the tribal peoples on the borders of the settled civil societies have always, always, always understood, yeah, you can raid, you can kill some of them, you better not go too far. Yeah, you can ambush a caravan and slaughter 5 people on the way. You don't march an army into their town and slaughter 1,000 of them, or they're simply going to raise an army and they're going to come eliminate your civilization from the face of the planet. How could Hamas be so stupid? That's what hatred does. It makes you stupid. Tactically, if you set aside all your emotions on it, set aside every emotion you have for this region, for this area, Israel, whatever, it doesn't matter. Every emotion, set it aside. Tactically, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. It's just one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Almost as dumb as not owning an IQ sense from Sheffman. That's dumb. Why would? Have you seen the meat prices? Not to sound like Chris, have you seen the meat prices? They're outrageous. A friggin' sirloin is expensive now. Everything is expensive. Why take the chance on ruining a piece of meat, overcooking it or undercooking it? IQ sense eliminates that opportunity. You cannot ruin it. By the way, you need to take advantage of that 15% off, like now. Go to chefiq.com and use the promo code Jesse. Fish, chicken, pork, steak. Leave the thermometer in there. You don't have to take it out. You don't have to open the grill. You don't have to open the smoker. The IQ sense will make all your meat perfect, just like my meat is. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, a wonderful Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And you're very lucky that I'm in a good mood, because I once again, was discriminated against right before the show started. Me and my people are easily the most discriminated against people in the United States of America. I maintain that now and always. What people are that? Sauce people. Sauce people, like me, are ignored. We have our wants, our wishes, just thrown back in our face over and over again. We got tacos. There were 2 different options for the sauce for the taco. There was a poblano ranch option and a Chipotle ranch option. Because I'm an American, I chose the Chipotle ranch option. It's glorious, amazing, Chipotle Ranch. What did they bring? Poblano Ranch. You know why? Because they don't care about sauce people. Nobody does. Nobody does. Your waitress doesn't. That's why you ask for a side of ranch. She never brings it. And when she brings the food and you bring it up, she acts shocked. Oh, did you not get that? And then she'll go out back, have a cigarette, call her mom, wait on 10 other tables before she finally brings your ranch. You're exactly right, Chris. It changes the taco. You know who right now, if you're saying to me, if you're saying, what's the big deal? It's no big deal. By the way, I threw my tacos in the garbage. That's how upset I was. If you're saying it was no big deal, You discriminate against me. That's what it is. It's no big deal to you. We sauce people know it's a big deal. It's a very freaking big deal. Anyway, I didn't want to get myself upset. Let's talk about something else. Something that is very much on my mind as a father. I have a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old. I have young men who are about to be men. And, you know, like every father, I want them to go on and have jobs. I've told my sons in no uncertain terms, it is going to be their job to provide for their family. They will work hard. They will come up with some kind of a career. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care what you do, but you will have a career and you will provide for a family. That's what I tell my boys. No ifs, ands, or buts. And so AI, artificial intelligence, is on my mind. And I hear people like this. This is Sam Altman talking about it, and it perks my ears up.
A kid born today will never be smarter than AI, ever. And a kid born today, by the time that kid like kind of understands the way the world works, will just always be used to an incredibly fast rate of things improving and discovering new science. They will never know any other world. It will seem totally natural. It will seem unthinkable and Stone Age-like that we used to use computers or phones or any kind of technology that was not way smarter than we were. You know, we will think like how bad those people of the 2020s had it.
I'm going to come back to that never smarter than AI thing because I have a few things to say about, but let's go to this email about AI. Jesse, on its current trajectory, this guy says, AI will have reached a point that businesses will have fully implemented it and caused massive unemployment that will likely have far surpassed the Great Depression by 2028. That's what this guy says. With elections falling at the end of that year, do you anticipate that unprecedented crisis will allow Democrats to surge to a huge victory, seize AI, and consolidate power forever? Before you call me crazy, please remember companies are... Okay, so one, his name is Brian. I'm not going to call you crazy at all. Absolutely at all. It does say in there, I personally take comfort in the fact they will eliminate me early on, right after you, simply for the questions I ask on about AI. Okay, so let's talk about this in the jobs market, because this is on my mind, like I said, as a father. What is AI going to mean? And you know I'm not a tech person. I have to rely on Chris and Corey for even the most basic tech needs. My understanding of AI is fairly basic, but I also talk to business people in various fields who are starting to implement it en masse. I've told you already that that person you talk to that you're chatting with on DoorDash or an RV sales website or banking, that's an AI. It's not a human being. It's not me. It's not Chris. It's not even Beep Beep somewhere. It's AI. I've told you this. Lawyers, the law field. The law field is never going to go away, by the way. There's always going to be a place for outstanding lawyers. There's always going to be a place for ambulance chasing lawyers too, but the law field is going to be a lot less lucrative for a lot of lawyers because AI writes up a lot of these documents. Let me pause really quickly when I say this before I go any further. I didn't say you can trust it when it comes to legal documents. I've had many, many lawyers have been a lot of reviews of this. You can get AI to type you up a legal document and there will probably be errors in it. So I just want to clarify. It's not like that's the catch-all, but it's going to eliminate a lot. How many accountants? How many accountants are going to be eliminated because of AI? Just so you go down this list of this field and that field and this field and that field and this field and that field, and it does concern me. Is this a Great Depression level of unemployment? Could be. What do we do about drivers? How long until truckers get run out? Which sucks because truckers are awesome. Well, the American ones. What happens if they start to implement AI self-driving trucks? There's a lot that goes into this. And you can freak yourself out and doomsday yourself till the cows come home. You can sit and freak yourself out about it. What I have chosen to do, and I'm not telling you this is what you have to do. What I have chosen to do in my life is not freak myself out about it, but make some preparations. Make some basic preparations. There's a reason I am pushing my sons, both of them, towards trades. And I should clarify something. I talk about the trades all the time as far as employment goes. There are trades for women. I want you young ladies and parents of young ladies to know your daughter doesn't have to go to a $100,000 commie university so she can shave her head and learn to be a lesbian. There are trades that pay very well, trades that are for women. It's not all HVAC and plumbing. There are trades for women. Anyway, part of the reason I push my sons toward the trades, my oldest is flirting with maybe being an electrician or at least testing it out right now. Part of the reason I push them there is there are things that AI will never be able to do, that they will never be able to automate. They're never, ever, ever going to be able to automate running electrical wire, cleaning out a gunk from a drain, the putting in a new air conditioning. They're not going to be able to do that no matter what. It's just not going to happen. So maybe I'm overthinking it. I don't think I am. I want my sons to be able to have a career that pays well. Remember, the trades pay very well. We're talking six-figure incomes here. I want them to have a career that pays well. And honestly, I want them to, if they so desire, start their own business. And the trades provide a great route for that. I know a lot of guys, they started a business before they were 30 years old in the trades. Go learn the job. Learn how to be a plumber. Learn how to be an electrician. Maybe buy your own truck. Start your own business. Maybe eventually you need an employee or two. Soon, you're driving a Mercedes. Anyway, let's move on. I want to talk about trannies, feminism, commies, all kinds of things. Shoot, we're going to talk about chili. Let's talk about Hillsdale before we do any of that. If my kids do choose to go to college, right now that's not the direction they're going. Look, we all know where we're applying first. It's going to be Hillsdale. That's where everybody wants to send their kids. Hillsdale College, where they can still receive a classical education and learn about the Constitution, learn about God, the Roman Republic, capitalism, learn about the Federalist Papers. You can still learn about the good things from Hillsdale College, but the thing is, you're not getting into Hillsdale College, and neither am I. But I don't have to learn from them. This incredible university, this wealth of knowledge, they give us that knowledge free of charge. More than 40 online courses. They don't have to do this. More than 40 online courses at no cost. You can do one this weekend, and I hope you do. Sit down with your family. Take one class. On anything you're interested in, take one class. You will be hooked. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, we are live here tonight, and you can email your questions into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, your love, your hate, your death threats, or whatever you like, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get back to the questions because there are just too many great ones. Jesse. My question about these hypocrites, he's talking about feminists, that's the subject of this one, is why haven't we heard a peep out of them with trannies playing girls' sports? Okay. Why haven't the feminists said anything about the trannies playing girls' sports? Well, there's a couple things we have to discuss, and one thing I haven't discussed in a while, and I realize we have a bunch of new listeners, a bunch of new stations, so I need to lay this out. For those who have listened for a while, you've heard me say this many, many times before. It can be very easy to think there are a bunch of different communist groups in the country. Very, very easy. Remember, communists lie about everything. And they're always creating the illusion of something that isn't real. One of those illusions they have created is that there are separate groups of people who are angry about some form of injustice depending on the different group. So you have your climate change commies. These are the ones who tell you the world's coming to an end. Oh my gosh, we should eliminate all prosperity, that kind of a thing. You think they're separate from the Black Lives Matter race commies. You know, kill whitey, all these people. I'm so oppressed. You think those are separate. You think they're separate from the LGBTQ demon mob. Oh, my gosh.
Why are you gay?
You think they're separate. They're not. And the feminists, too. Oh, well, they're just women, bitter women who want more for women. They're not separate groups. Communists. What is communism? What is it? The religion of the malcontent. Communists need more malcontents. In the exact same way a church will open in an area and it will want more people to come into the church because it wants more people to come to Jesus. Sorry, Chris. That exact same way works for the religion of communism, except they're not bringing people to Jesus. They need more malcontents. They need more people in the tent. You can't get enough malcontents if all you're selling is LGBTQ demon mob stuff. There aren't enough of them. So you have to find different malcontents. Are you mad about the climate? Come on in. Do you hate whitey? Come on in. Do you hate men? Come on in. But they're all part of the same destructive religion of communism. Different fingers of the same fist. That's why they protest together, even when it doesn't seem like they have anything to do with each other. You show up at a Black Lives Matter protest, you'll see Antifa there. You show up at one of these climate commie garbage things, you'll see the LGBTQ rage mob there. We had, I think it was Queers for Palestine, three lesbians in New York campaigning for the Palestinian cause. Why? That doesn't make any sense. It makes perfect sense when you understand they are all part of the same group with different branding. McDonald's doesn't just sell quarter pounders. That wouldn't bring you in enough customers. They have to sell chicken strips and Big Macs and they need other customers. Communism needs more malcontents. You can't do that if you focus on one group. Different brands, different fingers of the same communist fist. Now, as it pertains to trannies, well, they're in the same religion. The feminists and the trannies they're in the same religion. You didn't think feminism was actually about helping women, did you? It's not about helping anybody. Like all communism, it's about destroying things. They're not out to try to make things better for women, which, by the way, that's laughable because women in the United States of America in 2025 have it better than any woman who's ever lived on the face of the planet. They're not trying to make things better for women. They're not trying to make things at all. They're trying to break things. The trannies are trying to break things. The race commies are trying to break things. The climate commies break things. It's not ever about what they say it's about. It's about destruction. You think some feminist, some I am woman, hear me roar feminist, should be getting out of her Subaru and yelling at the tranny for beating up women on the soccer field or something like that. Because that would make sense if you bought the branding. If the feminist was really just all about women, women's rights and women this, then it would make sense. I know it's not about that at all. It's about hurting people and destroying things. It's like we've talked about with, who's going to get elected in New York, Mandani. We love to do this on the right, and I've done it too. I'm not pointing fingers. We love to point out that his policies, the things he's proposing, they will fail. They will fail. That won't work. Hey, I want to put homeless people in the subway. That won't work. I want to abolish public property. That won't work. We think that's a convincing argument. It's not supposed to work. It's not designed to work. It's designed to destroy. They're not selling something that will work. They're selling, I will hurt somebody for you. They're selling revenge. They're always selling revenge. If you doubt that for a minute, go listen. Well, you know what? I'll play it again. Listen to this. What's she selling?
For me, being an American is the ability to dream, to love, to have dissent, to be able to organize and build a kind of solidarity that recognizes the good and the bad of the formation of this country, that is willing to reckon with how we have used colonialism to harm others, especially in the Western Hemisphere, and begin to think about and imagine creatively what reparations look like, what building solidarity looks like.
Is she selling you something that's going to work? Or is she selling you an outlet for your vengeance? Communism's about revenge and destroying things. Remember that. Let's talk about commies. Crime statistics. Chili. Beans. First, let me talk to you about trust. When I talk to you about taking your pictures, your home movies, and I talk to you about putting them in a legacy box and sending them away to a company you may not know, I understand that that requires a certain level of trust because that's the only picture of grandpa you have. That's the only video of your wedding you have. And it requires a certain degree of trust to send it off to somebody. I'm here to tell you that I trusted Legacy Box with the most precious memories I have. My father, who I miss dearly. Losing that stuff would have been crushing to me. Legacy Box could not have been better. They hand digitized all of it. Now I have it all on my phone, my computer, thumb drive. I'll have it forever. They sent all the pictures back, sent all the videos back. They're wonderful. Look, they have family, wives, kids, just like you do. They know what those memories mean. You can trust Legacy Box with your memories. Trust me. LegacyBox.com/Jesse is where you go. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.